You are listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond, where hosts from the LCC Library sit down with writers, publishers, entrepreneurs, and literary enthusiasts of all types. Join us as we explore the very heart of the written word.
Hello and welcome to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. I am John Saleji. With me today is my co-host, Robin Moore. Today, our guest is Jimmy Coyer. Jimmy is the organizer of Lansing Independent Comic and Zine Fest. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. All right. To get started here, where and when is the Lansing Independent Comic and Zine Fest?
So this year we are on April 18th, that's Saturday, April 18th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., going to be partying at Graywall Hall right downtown, right down the street from the studio, in fact.
Okay. Wonderful. So that's right on Washington.
Yep.
Great, great. Very basic question here. What is a zine?
A zine, it can kind of be a contentious question if I'm being honest, but the most basic form is a really kind of lo-fi stapled booklet that contains kind of whatever you want. A lot of folks will put in personal poetry, or some people will illustrate comics. You can kind of think of it like a book, but something that you can make at home with your printer and your stapler.
So how did zines kind of get started then? Like, what's the history behind zines?
That is a big question, and we have some great resources in and around Lansing that know a lot more about that than me.
Okay.
MSU, for instance, has this amazing zine archive that spans decades and internationally. A lot of people attribute to kind of like the punk scene, though.
Oh.
Folks that want to spread, you know, subversive political messages, particularly associated with rock and roll. That's my understanding, at least. But again, I mean, these are little booklets that anyone could make. I'm sure people have been making them for a long time for a lot of different reasons.
I love that. That's new to me. Thanks for sharing. I'm wondering, like, what could the first-time attendees expect from your festival?
Well, we are going to have about 50 different exhibitors at tables hawking all of the different kinds of booklets that they've made. And this spans pretty much every conceivable genre. We have cartoonists and poets and photographers, really just anyone that's interested in self-publishing their own work. Yeah, yeah.
Is it too late to sign up if someone was interested, if they heard this podcast, if they were interested in joining this year? Is it too late to get a table?
Applications have closed for this year, but folks can always keep an eye on our website and watch for applications next year.
I love that. I love that. So I think, did you share how many years yet this festival has been happening?
Not yet. This is actually only our second year.
Second year. So what's new or different this year?
Last year, we had about 40 folks involved. Mm-hmm. This year, like I said, we've grown to 50, which is really great. One other change is that we had a little bit more reach this time around. So a lot of our people last year, a lot of our exhibitors were centered around Michigan, and that's still pretty much the case, but you can see our exhibitor pool sort of spreading out across the Midwest, which is really exciting, because that means we get to bring some of that culture right down here to Lansing.
Love that. So hopefully this platform will give you a boost in participants.
Absolutely.
That's
I hope
goal.
So. Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about zines as one part of the fest and the other being independent comics. I think it's so common that people, when they think of comics, they think of like superhero comics and that kind of thing. So what type of content will be, you know, are in the comics that are like independent comics, particularly independent comics that will be featured at the festival?
Yeah, I thank you for asking this question. I really love it because it's true. Most of the time when I'm explaining the fest to somebody, they assume those superhero comics. But really, it's just like with zines, comics are just a format of information. They can contain really any conceivable topic. And so at this fest, again, I really want to represent that and show people. So there's a lot of stuff that might be how-to manuals that are illustrated in a comic format.
Mm.
Again, some personal autobiographical things that are, you know, true to somebody's personal experience. But you'll also see some silly gag cartoons and maybe even some more like superhero-style comics like you would imagine. But these folks are not working with a large publisher like the folks at Marvel or DC or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You spoke a little bit to it, but what made you want to start this festival?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm not actually a creator of any of this stuff myself. I've just really enjoyed getting my hands on as many of these little booklets as I can over the years. That leads me to travel around, you know, Chicago, more closer to home, Grand Rapids, Detroit. They have fests that are kind of like this. Toronto has got a huge one, but we haven't had one in Lansing. And I grew up around here. I really love Lansing. I don't really see a reason to skedaddle, even though that stuff that I love is usually found in other places. I realized might as well just start it going here.
I love that you're creating that platform for this space, because we don't have it. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, and I will say, alongside that zine archive at MSU, yeah, there's also a huge comics collection. So that was part of the impetus for starting this right here. We actually have a lot of creators and resources for it, but stunningly, not a lot of events or community centered around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you're not necessarily a creator of these things, but it sounds like you collect both like independent comics and zines. Like, could you tell us a little bit about your collection, and is there anything that's like super exciting that you have and would like to share?
Gosh, I think that some of my favorite pieces that I own are actually forms of independent journalism.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a couple sitting right in front of me just because, again, they are my favorite pieces. But mm-hmm. this one publication by Shannon Spence, it's called Cart Zine, mm-hmm. and it just is a series of interviews of other comics creators,
wow.
which is really, really special to me. You can find that sort of stuff online, but it can be hard. I think people are kind of more aware that the internet's kind of feeling like a smaller place sometimes, and mm-hmm. when you're searching for, you know, a particular kind of thing, it can be hard to find, you know, those more in-depth posts or explanations or write-ups or things like that. So I'm really pleased to have stuff like this. A lot of my collection is, I would say, interview style or journalism or autobiography.
Oh, wow.
I know that just from knowing a very little bit about zines and kind of what you have told us already, like, these were things that, you know, people made themselves in necessarily not always built to last, you know? Mm-hmm. So is it difficult to collect them and find these kinds of things, or has that kind of changed and there's more of like a collecting scene of this kind of material?
Well, I would say it really probably depends on where you are. I haven't found too much of a culture outside of these events that serves as hubs for these kinds of things. But it used to be the case that, you know, if you went to a basement rock show, or, you know, there'd be people passing around their own zines, trading them with others.
Mm.
Zine trading specifically is still very common today, but at least around here, I haven't experienced much of that personally.
Mm. So what has been the most rewarding part of organizing or participating in this?
Oh my gosh, there's so many benefits. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
Last year, just pulling all these exhibitors into one place in yeah. Lansing, you know, in the city that I live in, was just so incredible because, again, like, I just hadn't seen it before, mm-hmm. but it was possible. It actually kind of felt like I had tricked hundreds yeah. of people into showing up in the same room together.
Mm-hmm.
But afterward, the number one piece of feedback that I heard from exhibitors was actually, oh my gosh, the people in Lansing are so nice.
Oh.
Yeah, and I felt that they really meant that, and that was just really, really nice to hear.
So where was last year's event housed at?
So we were down at the Rio Town Marketplace. They've got this kind of
yeah.
big back room that they use for events from time to time.
Yeah.
It ended up being really nice because at the time, one of their other tenants was the Wayfaring Booksellers,
okay.
so a little queer bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that everyone that we were pulling into our event was also going to go right next door and check out that small business right afterwards.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the Record Lounge.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, right.
It actually happened to take place on Free Record Day
as well.
Yeah. Which is
probably, people, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A good little
that.
Bump.
Okay. Yeah.
And this year it'll be at Gray Wall, and Gray Wall's a nice facility for it too. And, you know, right by a comic book store as well.
Yes.
And a bookstore. Yeah. So great location for it.
Now, let me ask something. Was
yeah.
that intentional?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. I love that.
Yep. I had to find a way to make it work because
yes.
It's really important to me that I'm not really interested in creating events that are siloed, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know a number of small business owners in the area just from being a particularly chatty individual. And I want them to feel like they're benefiting from something like this. You know, I think us having more events in kind of central locations like downtown. It really is like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of situation, you know. Mm-hmm. I want those business owners to benefit too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's great. You mentioned kind of about putting together the exhibitors who are going to be there and the folks who will be involved kind of on that level. Is there anyone in particular, especially this year, that you're excited about that they were able to come to it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I will say folks are not able to make it until they're able to make it. Maybe that's confusing. What I mean to say is at any point folks can cancel or drop for various life circumstances. But we did just have an exhibitor commit that I am personally excited about, Field Mouse Press out of California, of all places. They're just small press publishing operation that I have been following for years. So they were just people that lived in my computer. But now they're real and they're going to be in Lansing, and it's just so impressive to me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's really great. I love the fact that we have platforms where we can follow each other and look at that connection, and now they're coming here to see you. So this brings me to, how can students and young creatives get involved? I'm thinking about, like, how do you reach out to high schoolers, or, I mean, what does that look like?
I haven't done too much outreach so far because the simple fact of the matter is, as impressive as this event is, for me, it's really just setting up a bunch of tables in a big room. You know, it's logistically not very challenging, but I do want to grow the operation. And like I said, I want to be involving more people over time. This year, one thing we're trying to introduce is additional programming. So, for instance, a novel concept next door is going to be hosting, fingers crossed, a zine workshop, a zine making workshop.
Wonderful.
And hopefully we can kind of do more and more of that over time, which will require volunteers. Mm-hmm. So in an effort to kind of get there this year, I'm going to be opening up volunteer applications in just about a week or two from when we're recording this. And that's just going to be anyone who wants to come by and help facilitate the event in the main ground or next door over to Novel Concept. We'll start building a team.
That's great. That's great to hear.
So if someone can't make it on April 18th, it seems like you have other connections to this community in Lansing. What are some other ways people could get involved in the independent comic or zine kind of community in Lansing?
Yeah, absolutely. I have seen over the last year a number of zine making workshops pop up at a bunch of different locations, which is really, really sweet. Other things that I've noticed, a Novel Concept downtown and the Capital Area District Library downtown have started opening up shelves for people to leave their zines, for people to come in and maybe swap them with other people. Apart from that, I host a what I call open print in my own living room. I have a special kind of printer that I invite people to come over to use. I've got a big fancy stapler. I've got a big paper cutter, can cut through a whole ream of paper. And that's kind of in an effort to get people making more of these booklets. So I host that twice a month. You can follow the ultramega.studio Instagram account to see kind of when those are. But that's what I'm aware of so far. I hope that we're able to see more of these kind of community events over time.
I love that. What do you hope attendees walk away with or feel when they leave this event?
There's so many hopes. There's so many different feelings. I definitely want them to feel inspired because that's what I'm chasing anytime I go to one of these events. Again, so many different kinds of things that people stuff in these little booklets. I also want them to feel like we can have things here. You know, I think sometimes, I'm sorry to say, sometimes Lansing residents, we've got a little chip on our shoulders about, you know, events that are going on. Are there enough cool ones? Yada, yada, whatever. I say, if you don't see enough cool events, make one yourself and people are going to flock to it. That's how I feel, at least.
Yeah, so encouraging. So encouraging.
So you mentioned that one thing you want people to walk away from this from is feeling inspired. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was the first comic or zine that really inspired you?
So, I actually have a pretty strong memory about this.
Great.
This was not a physical book that I picked up, but way back in the day, I was just a kid with a Tumblr account, and I happened upon somebody's kind of independent comic that they published on their own Tumblr. This was Carta Monier. She made something that was just very personal, very touching, and I was like, I've only read Spider-Man. I've never seen anything like this before. And that's the moment that kind of started me along this path. So Carta Monier's work is really important to me. And actually, my open print, my having this printer in my living room is something that she did years ago. Mm. So I'm kind of following in her footsteps a little bit there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So talking about the open print and that, what kind of printer and equipment do you use for making like zines? I don't know a lot about like the process. So kind of take us through the process and what it would be like, you know, making, printing it.
So I say for most people, the tools are their office printer after hours and the stapler that's on their desk. That's the number one way that people make zines, or that's kind of the historical way, really. But what I have is equipment that's a little bit harder to access, so that if people want to do something that's a little bit more fancy, like, or they want to express their creativity a little, with more options, I try to give them access to that. So my big stapler is this 300-pound machine. It's actually called a stitcher from an old print shop decades ago, but it helps you staple booklets slightly faster. That's it.
So are they always booklets, or can they be one-pagers? Or I saw one individual was making stickers.
So when it comes to like what a zine is?
Like, can it just be all of that, or? Because I keep hearing booklet, and like I said, I'm visual, but can it be like a one pager? Or
generally,
I want to see what you got over there.
Is defined as a small booklet.
As a small, okay, yeah.
But when people come over to my little print shop living room to print something, I want them to print whatever.
Okay.
We've done J cards for cassette cases, you know, for somebody's tape. We've done posters like this. Folks are printing pretty much anything you can print on paper.
Okay.
So lots of options.
Okay.
A couple other questions about the event, kind of. Do people need to get tickets ahead of time? Is there a cost or anything like that?
It is free. I need to be screaming this from the rooftops.
Yes.
Free for folks to walk in. If you're paying money, you're paying money to an artist directly.
Okay.
And this is a not for-profit operation. This is a passion project for me.
Yeah.
So I just want these artists supported. I want these artists hanging out in Lansing. I want community to come out of this. So you can, for free, walk into Gray Wall Hall from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, April 18th, and see all of these amazing artists and chat with them and explore their work.
Love it. He's creating that space.
Yeah.
And we need that. Now, will their food be there?
I thought about food trucks, but we've got so many good businesses right downtown that'll be serving food.
Especially across the street, there's a little.
Yeah, there is right across the street.
Joloff,
there's all kinds of good places right down there on Washington Street. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean,
will say, though, something that's unusual about this fest versus other similar ones is since we're taking place in Gray Wall, there is going to be a bar. So there are beverages.
I almost asked you if the bar was going to be open, and
it
I was like, no, I'm not.
Yep.
Okay.
So you can grab a drink, you can grab a comic, you can sit up on the mezzanine where we're going to have some comfy chairs and some tables, you can just read with a drink.
That's a nice setup.
I'm hoping it feels good to people.
Yeah. Great space. I love that. All righty.
Well, that it sounds like a super exciting event. Just to let you know, I had already seen this like information about this on Gray Wall's website and was thinking about going, so it was kind of like really great that we were able to talk with you today, because it was something I was already interested about. So it has been just great to talk with you, Jimmy. And before we go, one more time, put in a plug for when, where.
Absolutely. So that is the Lansing Independent Comics and Zine Fest, Saturday, April 18th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., right downtown at Gray Wall Hall. Very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to Written in the Stars, Books and Beyond. Visit lcc.edu/library to find the titles discussed in this episode. You can find previous episodes of Written in the Stars and other LCC Connect shows at lccconnect.com. And in the words of Miguel de Unamuno, I hope, reader, we shall meet again, and we shall recognize each other.